This morning, I'm excited because if you guys haven't been around very long, I used to do the New Beginnings sermon on January 1st, and I'm going to tell you, God has graciously spared me from that once again. There's only so many times you can preach on New Beginnings, I'm just going to tell you. You know, it's the same scriptures, it's the same thing. The last few years, God has given me a word for the church to kind of carry throughout the year. And this year, he's given me something that was really kind of an image, but it's going to be powerful and impact us because it's going to be one of those things I believe we're going to be able to continue to draw from throughout the year. So today I'm preaching on the lion in me. And I want you to take that personally. Say, the lion in me. Now, somebody say it like you believe it. The lion in me, all right? A little bit bolder. I know we're a little smaller crowd today, but that means you got to be louder, right? If you don't want to be loud, invite more friends, all right? If you don't bring friends, you got to be loud, all right? But when we think about a lion, right, a lion is known for some specific things. It's known for its strength. It's known for its fearlessness. It's known for its beauty. And when you think about a lion at the zoo, okay, if I go to the zoo, the thing I want to see the most is actually the penguins because it's always so hot, and I can't wait to go in that room where it's like negative 10, and like I just want to stay in there. But outside of that, I love to look at the lion. If you go near the lion's enclosure, before you even get there, you know if the lion is out or if he's not. If he's not, there's nobody standing there. If he's out, everybody is standing there looking at the lion. And what is it doing? Nothing. He's doing nothing. He's just laying there. But a lion is such an amazing creature that everybody just loves to look at it. You know, you can hear a lion's roar up to 5 miles away. That's almost all the way to Altamont from here. Definitely at that Lutheran church on the edge of town. You know, if a lion was here, they'd be able to hear it there. A lion can run 50 miles an hour, okay? So if a lion's chasing you, just fall down and take it, all right? You're not going to outrun him. A lion can jump up to 36 feet. Now, that is insane. I don't believe it, but I also don't want to see it, okay? 36 feet. Their eyes are 6 times more sensitive to light than humans. So essentially, they have night vision, right? They can see clearly in the night. Their walk is almost silent. It's part of why they're so good at what they do and being the king, right? Because they can sneak up behind someone. They walk on the pads of their feet toward their toes, and their heels do not touch the ground as they walk. These are some of the reasons why lions are called the king of the beast. This is part of why they're called king of the jungle. Do you know that they're king of the jungle, but they don't live in jungles, right? Lions don't live in jungles. They live in the open plains and in the prairies and those kinds of things. So what am I getting at here? It's that lions are widely known through all of creation as kings. It's what we think of, right? The Lion King. They made a whole movie about it. The Lion King. When we read through the Word of God, we see very frequently Jesus referred to as the Lamb of God. But there's one time here in Revelation where he is all of a sudden seemingly just throws it out there at you that he is a lion. Revelation 5:5 says, "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its 7 seals. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Now, what's happening here, for those of you who aren't as familiar with the book of Revelation, is that judgment is getting ready to be executed upon the earth right here. Now, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we see the letters to the 7 churches. Those letters are to actual, physical, real churches in that day. But those letters are also symbolic of the church age, which we are living in. When you get to the last letter in chapter 3, it's the church of Laodicea. Does anybody know what that church is called? The lukewarm church. The last letter of the church age goes to the lukewarm church. Does anybody know where we're at in the church age right now? The lukewarm church, right? That's what we see around us, is the church in general, not specifically this body, but the church is lukewarm. There's not a lot on fire. There's not a lot that are just cold. It's just a lot of lukewarm, a lot of people that show up on Sunday, kind of check their box, and that's about it. And the thing about this church age ending with the lukewarm church, to me, that says that we're near. To me, that says we're near to this moment of this judgment upon the earth. But I got good news for you, right? If you belong to Christ, at the beginning of chapter 4, I believe that's where we see the rapture. He tells John, he says, look, and I will show you the things which must take place after this. After what? We just got done with these letters to the churches, to the church age. I believe that the church is raptured in chapter 4, verse 1. And so that's what we're going to assume this morning. But after that comes the judgment. And so we see, John sees this scroll with these seals on it in the right hand of the Father on the throne, and he begins to weep because he says there is no one who is worthy to open the scroll to be found. No one's around. What is a scroll? For us today, we may not be as familiar with that, but you think if you take a long piece of paper and you write it out and you roll it up and you put a sticker on it to close it, then you got another one you write on, you attach it to it and sticker it, and another and another and another, so seven times. And this is what he would have been looking at. And John is saddened that there's nobody to open it, but then there's a voice and it says, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he has prevailed. That means he is conquered. That means he is victorious. That means that the Lamb who was sacrificed on the cross is the Lion who has defeated death and the grave. Jesus is King. Amen? He's King, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And where we get this from, where it ties back to, is Genesis chapter 49. We see this prophetic word that Jacob speaks over his son Judah. He speaks a word over all of his sons, but we're going to look at what he spoke over Judah today, and this is in Genesis 49, verses 8 through 12. He says, Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the necks of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. Judah is a young lion, my son. You return from the kill. He crouches. He lies down like a lion or a lioness. Who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, or the staff from between his feet, until he whose right it is comes, and the obedience of the peoples belongs to him. He ties his donkey to a vine, and the colt of his donkey to the choice vine. He washes his clothes in wine and his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine and his teeth are whiter than milk. The Lion of the tribe of Judah points to this conquering, victorious king that would descend from the lineage of Judah. And what we know now today is that this lion is pointing to one person, Jesus himself, God in human form, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. The Lion came out of the lineage of praise. See, we accept Jesus as the Lamb for salvation, hallelujah, but we praise Jesus the Lion for victory. These prophetic words that are spoken to Judah are fulfilled through Christ. He says, Judah, your brothers will praise you. What this is speaking to is the fact that we will acknowledge the Lion of Judah's lordship. Right? One day, every single person will confess. Right? Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. What? That Jesus is Lord. They will praise him. I bet you never realized that every tongue will praise him. But that's actually what is happening here, because while we think of praise as upbeat worship music that we maybe dance to a little, some of you guys, all you do is tap your foot, but we'll count that, right? You kind of think of that as praise, but what praise actually means is to give thanks and confess. And the word tells us that everyone will confess. Now, for those of us who have come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, we will thank him, and we thank him right now, today. Amen? We thank him because he's good, because his plan is perfect, because his actions are just, and because in him there is no darkness at all. Hallelujah. No darkness. Now, how could we know him as Lord and not praise him for who he is? How could we? How could we not thank him? How could we not confess that he is Lord, a God who came to save and to lead us into victory? Church, we got to stop separating those two things. It's not just about getting saved. We got to walk in the victory. Amen? I don't want to live a miserable life saved. That's just waiting until I die so things will get better. I want things better right now, right here today. I'm going to walk and stand in victory. And he goes on to say, this word spoken to Judah says that your hand will be on the necks of your enemies. How many of you have ever wanted to get your hand on the neck of your enemy? Okay, throw that aside. We're not talking about people. Leave out specific people. But, I mean, you get the imagery here. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemy. You will acknowledge the Lion of Judah's victory. He has put all things under his feet. Amen? All things. He has made his enemies his footstool. And when we consider the fact that sin interrupted our relationship with God and our death meant eternal separation and punishment for our sin, but Jesus conquered both of those enemies on our behalf. He conquered them. The Lion has given us victory over sin and removed the penalty of death because he has replaced it with the promises of hope and eternal life. Church, we can celebrate if we are in Christ because we are victorious in him and no longer under the penalty of sin. He has prevailed. Amen? He's prevailed. The prophetic word goes on to say that the scepter will not depart from Judah or the staff from between his feet until he whose right it is comes. We will acknowledge the line of Judah's eternal rule. This brings us back to Revelation chapter 5, where many see this scroll as the title deed to the earth, what Jesus had purchased back when he defeated hell, death, and the grave. And it says, who is worthy? Who's worthy to open the seals? Who's worthy is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he whose right it is. Right? It says that will remain until he whose right it is shows up to proclaim it. Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns, and of his reign, we're told back in Isaiah, there shall be no end. No end. There's nothing that ends the reign of Christ. He'll rule for all of eternity, and if we're part of his kingdom, we get to experience the benefits of his kingdom forever. Now, why is all of this possible? How can all this be? It says he will wash his clothes in wine and his robes in the blood of grapes. We will acknowledge his shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins. We have to remember what we observed earlier in communion, that we were bought with a price. But it wasn't silver. It wasn't gold. It wasn't the things that we find value in on this earth, but it was the precious blood of Christ. See, we get the benefits of the lion because he came as the lamb. Where would we be without Jesus? Where would we be? I don't think I'd be alive. I know we'd be dead in our sins. I know that we would be defeated. I know that we would be overcome and overwhelmed. I know that we would be hopeless, and I know that one day we would be destroyed. But I'm going to tell you, as important as it is to know God as the lion, it wouldn't have mattered a whole lot if he didn't first come as the lamb. Now, there's things that hold true. He would still be God. He would still reign forever. He still would have victory over his enemies. However, we would still be lost. But he made a way. Amen? He made a way by his sacrifice on the cross, by taking our sin and shame, the righteous giving his life for the unrighteous, so that we could be made righteous in him. Amen? Imagine that. The one who is innocent giving his life for the very people who have sinned against him. That's what Jesus did for you and for me. 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells us to test yourselves, to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you yourselves not recognize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail the test? Is Christ in you? Is he in you? See, if we've acknowledged his shed blood for the forgiveness of your sins, if you acknowledge his lordship and his victory and his eternal rule, then there ought to be something different about you. There ought to be something different, right? If Christ is in you, then it ought to change what comes out of you, shouldn't it? If he's in you, it ought to change what comes out of you. Romans 8:10 tells us that, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Because of righteousness, that means because of Christ. Right? We, who were dead in our trespasses, were only made righteous because of what Jesus Christ did for us, that we are justified by his death and resurrection. Christ gives you life. Sin brings death, but the Spirit gives life because of the Lamb. Now it says, test yourself. Check and see if Christ is in you. We're pretty good at checking and seeing if Christ is in somebody else, aren't we? That's easy to see. What, nah, probably not him, maybe her, nope, not that one. Yeah, maybe this one. You know, as we did this funeral service for CW on Friday, there's one thing that was evident by the people who shared, people that were talking before and after, is that everybody saw Christ in him. They saw it in him. And I said, you know what, he's the one person that I can't remember a single time, not one time, that I ever saw him and I didn't see Christ in him. And I said, man, I pray, literally pray to God that one day somebody can say that about me. Not say good words about me and about what I did. It's not about the recognition. It's not about the words. It's about why would they say the words. I hope it's because someone saw Christ in me. Church, that should be our desire with our life. That should be the desire of our life, is do people see Christ in me? But I'm going to tell you what, if you look in the mirror and you can't even see Christ in you, probably other people aren't going to see it either, right? It starts with us examining ourselves. Am I living my life for Christ? Am I living for him? See, we live for him because of the Lamb, but the Lamb is not what's in you. What's in you is the Lion. What's in you is Christ resurrected, Christ who is overcome, Christ who is victorious, and I'm talking about the Lion of the tribe of Judah within me, within you as a believer of Christ. And I'm not talking about the King of the Jungle. I'm talking about the King of Kings. I'm talking about the Lord of Lords. Proverbs 30:30 tells us that a lion, which is the mightiest among beasts, it doesn't retreat before anything. We, as people of God, are not meant for retreat, but we are meant for victory. We are meant for victory because there is a lion in you who is the mightiest of beasts, and he doesn't retreat before anything. Before anything, church. I believe this promise for God's people in Deuteronomy chapter 28. He tells us, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Who will make us the head? The Lord. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. It's not about me rising to the top. It's about me letting him who is in me rise to the top. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, for you shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of your Lord, which I command you today, and you're careful to observe them. Church, it's time for the church to be the head and not the tail. It's a promise. It's time for the church to be above and not beneath. That's a promise for those who keep the commandments of the Lord. In the last few years, God has given me a word for the church. And this year, like I told you, I didn't get a word. I got an image. And I got this image of a lion. And as I pictured this lion, it was not a lion next to me. It was not a lion in front of me, and it wasn't a lion behind me. It was a lion in me. And when I say in me, I'm talking about in the church. There was a lion in me, in you, in the people of God, in his church, in his bride, church, that we have a lion within. And here's the thing. It's time for us to see that lion inside. It's time to stop looking to the outside for all of our answers. Look, we're always looking for a person to fix the problems of what our world is facing, but it's not, the problem is not going to be solved by people. It's going to be solved by the lion within the people, the lion within the church. It's time to stop looking in the wrong places for those things. You know, you may not see it. You may not necessarily believe it, but it's time to speak it. Let's start with speaking it. Let's start with talking to ourselves and tell ourselves, listen, soul, it's time. Mind, will, emotions, what I think, what I want, what I feel, there is a lion inside of me, and he has prevailed. He has prevailed. He's already won. That doesn't mean you won't have issues outside. But I'm telling you that you have the victory already inside. Listen, this isn't a self-help thing. I'm not just trying to tell you that everything you need is inside of you. I'm trying to tell you that there's a victorious king inside of you if you belong to Christ. And it's time that we access that authority that he has given us. Listen, Christ in you is greater than anything outside of you. Christ in you. It's greater than anything outside of you. We like to think, you know, we want the spiritual bubble around us. You don't need it. You don't need the spiritual bubble around you. You already got the Spirit of God within you. It's time we let that out. It's kind of like a force field from the inside out. He's our protector, right? He's the one who leads us and guides us. He's within us. And it leads us all back to one thing, to praise. It leads us back to praise. Praise is the way the lion comes out. Praise within, coming out of us. When we thank Jesus for what he's done. When we confess that he is Lord. Listen, we give the enemy a lot of credit. We give the enemy a lot of headspace, right? We talk about how difficult life is and how hard the things are that we're facing, and what we ought to be talking about is how thankful we are for what Jesus Christ has done in us and for us, and we ought to be confessing that he is Lord. He's Lord. I mean, it doesn't matter what the things are that are against us if he is within us. But sometimes I think we're falling short because we're not letting the praise out. The praise is the evidence, right? It's the evidence that we have received that shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins. It's the evidence because we're thankful for it, because we confess that he's Lord. We confess that he's victorious. We confess that his reign is eternal and his rule has no end. This is the way we release those things in our life. It's by praise. The Lion of Judah is the Lion of Praise. One more thing that was spoken to Judah that I skipped over. He said that Judah is a young lion. My son, you return from the kill. He crouches down. He lies down like a lion or a lioness. And it says, who dares to rouse him? Praise is a young lion in your life. Crouching down, lying down. Who dares to rouse praise? Who dares to do it? Now think about what rousing means. It means to awaken something that is asleep. But this particular word in the Greek means something even more than that. It means to arise in a hostile sense. It means to become powerful. Who dares to rouse praise? Who dares to stir up praise in their life to the point that it brings hostility against the things that are on the outside, till it brings power in your life against the things that are coming against you from the outside? I'm not talking about what you see at the zoo, right? When the lion gets roused at the zoo, they stretch their back and they open their mouth and they yawn real big and they just lay there looking cute. I'm not talking about that kind of rousing. When it says, who dares to rouse praise? Who dares to do it? You don't dare to do something unless it's powerful. Then you're like, I'm going to give some thought to this. When we rouse praise, we're talking about waking up a lion that is ready to attack, a lion who is powerful, who is going to win the victory. We're talking about victory, church. Amen? Victory. It's not enough. Listen, it's not enough to know you're victorious. I'm telling you, that's not good enough, church. We're in the midst of the battle right now. How many of you guys have been in a little bit of a battle in 2022? Well, 2023, we're declaring that this is going to be the year of the lion in me coming out. This is going to be the year that I'm going to rouse praise in my life. I'm going to stir it up with some hostility and with some power, not against me, against the things that come against me. We're in the midst of a battle. And some of you have got to quit just hoping you're going to get through life and get the W at the end. There's so many times we see that where it's like, man, if I can just get through it, if I can just survive until the end, I know I get the victory down the road. Listen, you got to fight for victory today. Right now, in this place, in your marriage, in your finances, in your mental state, in your physical state, whatever it is that you need in your life, it's today's the day to fight for that, church, that we have the victory. But the lion in you must be roused. And he gets roused by praise, and by praise alone. Romans 15, verse 10, speaks to us as the Gentiles. He says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples." And again, Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope." It's time for us to praise with his people. There's power in God's people praising together. I'm not talking about wait till you get home and you know, try to quietly put in your earbuds and try to rouse praise in your life. I'm talking about when God's people come together and begin to shake a building because their praise is so loud. I'm talking about when people, the people of God, begin to stir up the power of God in their life because they say, you know what? Today, regardless of what I'm facing, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to declare that I am thankful. I'm going to declare and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm going to rouse the lion. I'm going to rouse the praise. The lion in me, the lion in you. We're going to rouse it today. Are you guys ready for that? If you guys would stand with me. In Revelation chapter 19, before Jesus comes back, says that there's this moment where the 24 elders and the four living creatures, they fell down and they worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, Alleluia." And then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you, his servants, those who fear him, both small and great." And then I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. This is the people of God praising together. It said, the voice of a great multitude was as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, singing, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent." That means all powerful. He reigns. He reigns. Church, that's what it sounds like when the people of God praise together. You know, usually when it talks about the sound like the voice of many waters, this deep, powerful, majestic voice, it's usually talking about God. But here it says there was a voice of a great multitude. It was the voice of the people of God as they came together and they praised God. They begin to sound like God. You know why? Because it was the same lion. It was the same lion that was coming out, that was being declared through the people of God. And so this morning, whatever that thing is in your life, whatever it is that plagued you in 2022, we're believing that in 2023, that the lion is going to get roused, that praise is going to be roused, that you're going to come to a place of being so thankful for God and who he is and what he's done and confessing that he is Lord, that you're going to begin to see victory over all those things that have been holding you back. Do you believe that this morning? As we open up the altars this morning, I want to praise. Before we pray for anybody, we're just going to praise. And what I believe is if you have a need this morning, I want you to come down and line up in the front. And once we praise, we'll come along and we'll pray for you if you have need. But I believe there's going to be freedom just in our praise this morning. That as we rouse praise, as we stir up the lion of God within us, we're going to begin to see victory in our lives. Amen? Let's worship.